Honor your partners.
Fayette is fortunate to have a local FM radio station, KPIP, which is the flagship program of a nonprofit organization, International Educational Resources for Rural Missouri, or IERRM, whose mission is to cultivate and nurture community educational radio in and around Fayette. In addition to offering content developed elsewhere, KPIP is proud to feature local programming and look to area residents to offer their perspectives on topics of interest to them and their friends and neighbors. The following programming does just this, as it engages local citizenry who are the experts on the area's history because they have lived it. This series is called Howard County Remembers and builds on work done when the county celebrated its 200th birthday in 2016. That year, a fine publication entitled Howard County, Missouri, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries, was released. This radio series embellishes on the extensive information contained in that book, which may be found at the Howard County Public Library. To back up, though, the genesis of these programs was inspired by this year's celebration of the state's bicentennial. While Howard County was organized by an act of the General Assembly of the Territory of Missouri in 1816, it was followed 5 years later in 1821, when Missouri was recognized as a state by the United States Congress, making 2021 Missouri's bicentennial year. We decided to tie together these two historically close occasions by focusing on aspects of Howard County's history and keep these in KPIP archives, as well as offer audios of the broadcast to the State of Missouri Historical Society to keep in its archives.
Keep your feet above the floor and pop them through so brightly.
You're listening to 94.7 KPIP-LP Fayette, Missouri, and today our Howard County Remembers program is The Joy of Dutch Oven Cooking. This episode features Wade and Angel Monckton, who are local experts on everything to do with Dutch oven cooking. Wade is a Fayette native, and Angel moved to Fayette when they married 25 years ago. Whether you know very little or a lot about Dutch ovens, you should find the program both delightful and informative, as Wade and Angel tell about some of their many adventures in practicing their trade and teaching others about black kettles. As an added bonus, for listeners who want to pursue an interest in the topics covered, the Monctons will offer advice on how to learn more and will make themselves available to answer questions and even more cooking tips. Howard County Remembers is brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and is endorsed by the Missouri State Historical Society as part of its bicentennial celebration. Jane Krigler, Howard County Remembers Project Coordinator, leads things off and poses questions to the Monctons during this episode.
Grand right and left.
Welcome, Monctons. We're so happy you're willing to share your expertise regarding Dutch oven cooking. You're well known in the community for your knowledge of the subject. Those who have not seen one of your demonstrations or are new to this topic will learn a lot, I'm sure. So let's get started. Welcome. First, please tell us a little about what Dutch ovens are.
Usually it's a decent sized 2-quart and larger cooking vessel with a tight fitting lid. What we mainly use pretty much always are cast iron Dutch ovens. What we used are kitchen style, what a lot of people are familiar with, and we actually use the camp style Dutch oven. There's a little bit of difference.
Talk about that difference a little bit.
Okay.
The kitchen style has no legs. It does not have a flange on the lid, meaning a lip around the lid of the Dutch oven. And most often they have what's called nipples.
Yeah, no knobs.
The knobs on the back, don't shave them off. They're self-basting for your pot roast and your chickens and your turkeys and stuff like that.
And they're domed usually.
Yeah, they're usually domed.
Kitchen style lids, yeah.
So, and then camp style is Wade's favorite.
Yeah. Those are, like as Angel said, they actually have legs. And basically, there are three legs that stick out from the bottom of the Dutch oven. They're about, a lot of times on standard, about 1.5 inches long. And the idea of that is to you pick it up off of a solid base, like a steel plate or something fireproof, and you can actually lay coals, a bed of coals on that, and you put your Dutch oven on top, and that gets your bottom heat. And then that top, as Angel had said, has a flange around it, and that flange is usually maybe 1/2 inch tall, and that'll hold charcoal or wood coals on top of your Dutch oven so they don't fall off onto the ground or in your food when you're taking your lid on and off.
And what can you cook in them?
Almost anything. There are two things that I wouldn't suggest cooking in them. One is a souffle, because they don't like oil. The other is angel food cake for the same reason.
You never grease that angel
food
cake.
And the thing is, you don't have to have any special recipe. You don't have to go find a Dutch oven cookbook. Whatever your favorite recipe is, you can cook it in a Dutch oven. Whether it's on stovetop recipe or baked goods. We cook breads, you name it, and we've cooked it.
That's probably one of the biggest questions we have, is what can we cook? Or we get things, well, I've got a Dutch oven, but I haven't figured out a recipe yet. Well, if you cook, you've got a recipe. So if you were going to come, Jane, and say, I want to learn to cook, I'll say, okay, we'll help you. What do you want to cook? What is your favorite recipe that you know how it comes out? And it, okay, so you know, you maybe have a biscuit recipe that you always make, and it perms out perfect. We can try to help. Okay, make your biscuits, and we'll tell you where to put charcoal and how much, and we'll hope it comes out that way. So,
and if you don't have any Dutch ovens, I guarantee you we have plenty. We have close to 40 camp style Dutch ovens, and I don't know how many kitchen style Dutch ovens.
All sizes.
This is kind of an obsession.
Well, that's a good lead in to my next question. Let's back up and learn how you two got interested in Dutch ovens and how you developed your passion about their care and use.
Wade and I have always loved the outdoors. Fact is, that's what got me and Wade together. Yeah. Is I wanted a fishing buddy. So we met, and we even went camping on our wedding, but we didn't have any Dutch ovens then. My dad had one, and he gave it to us. It wasn't the best Dutch oven in the world. But Wade started watching this guy called Johnny Nix on RFD TV. Yeah. The last show he had was Have Y'all Ate Yet? What was his first one?
Campfire Cafe.
Campfire Cafe. Yeah. Anyways, we had this little 10-inch, like I said, that wasn't the best, but Wade went out and bought a 14-inch Lodge camp style Dutch oven. And I don't know, we'd been out a couple of times and we cooked in it. He cooked in it quite a bit. Well, he come home one day and I fixed him this wonderful meal. And it was summertime and our house always gets hot in the summer, especially when you're baking. He come in, he says, why's the house so hot? Well, here's your dinner. And he says, you are no longer allowed in the summertime to cook in the oven. You have to cook in Dutch oven outside. So for 3 years, I didn't cook in the summertime. I made him do it. And then he kind of got me into it. And now I cook in them as much as he does. We actually have a Dutch oven table out on our front porch. And oftentimes, I'm the one trying out the new recipes.
Yeah, I think it was probably over 20 years ago when Leslie was little, she's 23 now, we would go out camping and stuff. And, you know, everybody loves hot dogs and s'mores when you go camping.
And steaks and hamburgers.
But when you do that quite often, you're like, well, what else can we do? And that's where, when we started watching RFD and figuring out all the stuff you can do in Dutch ovens, it's like, hey, we can do lots more besides just that and go camping and have a complete wide variety of cooking type foods while we're out camping.
Yeah,
or just
not
outside.
It's not just hamburgers and hot dogs for us and s'mores. We bake cakes, breads, like I said, you name it, we baked it.
Well, what's the history of the Dutch oven use, and especially in the settling of the West?
I guess the best way to say is, why is it called a Dutch oven, honey?
Well, we never found any 100% proof of where it came from, but so one theory is that Dutch settlers, as they came to the United States, would actually peddle them, these cooking vessels. And they were ovens, and a lot of people kind of just started calling, you know, Dutch ovens from the Dutch.
Now, westward expansion, you know, taking your great Conestoga wagon like they've got in Boonville, or New Franklin,
yeah,
or just your farm wagon, there would be a Dutch oven attached some way underneath, just a swing underneath the wagon.
That was their main thing.
That was how they cooked. Yeah.
If they were going to bake or cook anything on the way other than putting on a stick and hanging some meat over it, but if they wanted, and a lot of stuff would be some breads because they had sourdough or beans, which were easy to travel and would keep, then they would put them in there, throw some water and some salt pork, and they'd have a pot of beans, and it was cheap, and it was, you know.
And that was staples that they've had. They didn't have eggs. Well, they could. They packed them in salt to transport them, but they didn't stay that much, maybe 3 months. So the staples were coffee, some kind of pork fat.
Yeah, cured.
Beans, rice, what else?
They wish they would have flour, so they would maybe be able to make
and
biscuits
sugar,
and bread.
But the sugar didn't last that long. because yeah. it'd get wet and it'd melt.
Yeah, they might have honey or something too sometimes.
Where would a person look to get a Dutch oven of quality, and how do you care for them?
All right, we like Lodge Dutch ovens. The reason why we like Lodge Dutch ovens...
Lodge.
Yes.
Dutch ovens is because they are the only manufactured Dutch oven, cast iron Dutch oven, in the United States. They were established in 1861?
No, 1896. Yeah, the first one in the foundry, and they're in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, is where they're made. And they make all kinds of cast iron.
A lot of cast iron products that you have, are their lids don't fit tight, and they're hard to season and keep your stuff from sticking.
Or they're not evenly made, so they heat evenly. So,
but Lodge, their lids fit tight, and they're wonderful products. Fact is, George Washington's mother bequeathed in her will what person got what piece of cast iron.
Best place to buy the best selection is to go to your local Bass Pro.
Or Walmart.
And Walmart has them too. And just because they're at Walmart doesn't mean that they're not as good. Lodge, it's the same. And
how do you care for them or get them set up for
you? Well, the Lodge comes seasoned now. A number of years ago, they didn't come seasoned at all. You have to season them. So they're already seasoned. And if you want to look to see if something's seasoned cast iron, it's usually going to be black. And if it's
lightly
oiled, it should be shiny. So the best thing to do, even on those seasoned one, and to kind of re-season one that you might have that's not real shiny or black, is to first clean it.
With soap. It's the only time you use soap.
Yeah, clean it with soap. It's got a little rust on it. Lightly soap it. You can lightly SOS pad it or scrub it with a nice soft brush and get most any rust off. Dry it real good. Lightly season it with just basically vegetable oil works good because it has a smoke point high enough to where you can take your skillet or your Dutch oven, anything cast iron, turn it upside down and put it in your oven. Then you turn your oven on to, and this is debatable, but we always use about 400 degree oven. Then cook it for an hour. It will smoke up your house.
So tell whoever's in the house that it's not on fire, because it will.
And that's what it's supposed to be. It's got to get to the smoke point so that oil cooks and gets down into the pores. And then when you're done, you turn the oven off, let it cool. And if it's already seasoned, with, like the Lodge or Lodge cast iron, when you buy them, you do about one more time and it should be really good, ready to cook. But if it's not seasoned, if it's, you know, an old piece that you've refurnished, then you would probably do that at least 3 to 4 times before you actually cook in it. You do it once, let it cool, lightly oil it again, and then do it again. Season it and oil it and bake it. But be sure to turn it upside down so your excess runs off. If you turn it right side up, then that little bit of extra oil will kind of get in the bottom and gets like a big gluey glob.
It kind of looks like shellac.
Yeah. So you don't want to do that. So you want to be sure to turn them upside down and then cook them. And then you can redo it the same way. You can scrub them out with a nice soft brush or plastic brush with hot water. And then if it's not shiny when you're done, put a light coating of oil on it and let it cool. And keep it warm so that the oil will kind of soak in as you each time you would.
And if you got something stuck in it, you just put some water in it and you boil it. And that's whatever stuck in there will just come right off.
Little plastic scrubby works pretty good without getting too rough. You don't want to get in there with anything real sharp. You know, you can use metal in them if you don't get a real sharp corner on it. But, you know, that's what scratches down into your seasoning, and that's what makes things stick. So you want to, just like you would treat a Teflon or nonstick, you'd kind of treat it the same way.
Well, now I know you've baked a lot of bread and brought it here to the square to peddle.
Yes.
But what are some of your other favorite recipes around the campfire? Or
we do lots of biscuits. They're easy to do.
That's his mom's recipe of the biscuits.
The kids would always like, whenever growing up, we would do pizzas, lasagna.
Or those box muffin mixes. We make them into breads.
Those are really easy.
Those are really good. And the best thing you could ever have, and you wouldn't think it would be, is cooking box brownies that come out hot. And there's just something about the flavor of them. You think you got a gourmet brownie you're eating.
Well, I know that you have a YouTube presence where people can see you in action.
Yeah.
How would people get to that?
They would look up all one word, Pole House Black Pots Weekend Getaways, and they'll find us. Or they can look up Wade and Angel Moncton. Well, either one of them will get us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On a YouTube search. But I think probably the most common thing that anybody ever cooks in cast iron, whether it's a skillet in the house and or outside, is cornbread.
Yeah.
You melt a big old blob of butter and pour that cornbread in there, and I bet you probably 90% of the cornbread cooked in the world is cooked in cast iron.
You're making me hungry.
It's making me hungry, too.
Are there area events that Howard Countyans can attend to see you and others in action?
Actually, we have a group. It's called the Show Me Dutch Oven Chapter.
Yep, Show Me Missouri.
It's International Dutch Oven Society, or IDOS, used to be. We're not actually incorporated anymore, but we still get together 2 to 3 times a year. It doesn't cost anything. You just come out and cook your favorite item, and we have a smorgasbord once a day.
Potluck meal.
Potluck meal. Yep. All cooked there on the site.
We have it somewhere around here, usually close to Fayette, and we tell first-timers they want to come, and they like cooking, but they want to learn how to do Dutch oven, or they want to bring something to cook, we'll actually help them, you know,
yeah,
learn how to
use. Yeah, they can use our Dutch ovens. Yeah. They supply the food and the briquettes.
And I want Wade to talk a little bit about the art and science of things like figuring out how many briquettes to use.
Yeah, there's several different methods, and one I basically use, I'll take for like a 12-inch Dutch oven, for example. That is a real common size, because if you do the math, it's basically the same size as a 9x13 cake pan. So, but you can do this with any size. So a 12-inch, you would take that and you double that, and that gives you, of course, 24. And if you use a total of about 24 pieces of charcoal, it'll get you about a 325-degree oven. That's for baking, but you got to remember, heat rises. So the general rule of thumb of that 24 would be 1/3 on the bottom and 2/3 on top.
The thing, it'll give you a 325-degree oven, but you don't normally cook at 325.
No.
You're normally cooking about 350.
350 or more.
So you add, for every 2 briquettes, you're raising your temperature of your Dutch oven 25 degrees.
You add four
briquettes.
Yeah, to get it up to 350, 375. And I usually sometimes cook a little bit hotter than that, because you basically are putting the Dutch oven as room temperature and your food's room temperature, sometimes even cold, and then you set it on. So I use closer to 28 to 30 pieces of charcoal, but I still do about 10 on the bottom and 20 on top. You always put your Dutch oven and you put your charcoal around the underneath the bottom, but always around the outside edge. You never put any charcoal in the middle of a Dutch oven, especially when you're baking breads or brownies or anything, because you always get a hot spot in the middle, because you've got to rotate your Dutch oven about every, if I do a 30-minute cook time roughly for maybe some brownies, every 10 minutes I'll rotate the Dutch oven a third of a turn one way and the lid a third of a turn the opposite direction.
Well, and I think if people watch your YouTube videos,
yeah,
they'll see how you use the whatever
that, yeah,
you call
that's
it.
The
lid lifter.
Yes, that's one of the things that we wanted to, you know, if you know a lot about it, it may get, you know, we already know that, but people that are watching it for the first time, we always wanted to be sure, because lots of people ask us, well, I have no idea how many charcoal or how to do it. So on all of our videos, we do Dutch oven and briquettes. We always try to go to that detail and show
them. And we don't always do just briquettes. We do
cooking over the open fire.
Tell us about some of the challenges you've faced in promoting the use of Dutch ovens. The scout leaders you mentioned to me.
Yeah, we did a leadership for scout leaders by St. Louis, the Greater St. Louis chapter.
It's called the Powderhorn.
Yeah, and we get to me, the guy that was calling us to come says, the main thing I want you to do is don't do dumpet cake. We don't have anything against dumpet cake, but we have so many people, especially the scout leaders, that do dumpet cake. And basically,
what is dumpet cake?
Dumpet cake is basically you take a cherry pie filling out of a can, and you sprinkle a dry cake mix on top, and then you put some blobs of butter on top.
And you bake it.
But you can do so much more. So
we've never fixed
the Powderhorn guy says, I want to do 30 Dutch ovens with food in it for at least 75 people, and I don't want you to do any dumpet cakes. So we did, 24 different recipes?
We did 27 different recipes,
yeah,
and 28 Dutch ovens in an hour and a half.
So we did, you know, we had all the recipes and different, then we took all of our recipes, They bought all the ingredients, and then everybody got a teaspoon and went through there and did it. So,
if listeners want to learn more, how would they reach you, folks?
They can look us up on pullhouseblackpots@gmail.com.
And if they have questions, too.
Yes.
Yeah, they can also go to our YouTube channel. There's always a comment section below any YouTube, and you can do a comment, and then we'll always go back and reply back,
yes,
too.
What haven't we covered that you'd like to talk about a little bit?
There was a neat thing that we talked about, the Western expansion. And before the settlers were moving west, as we all know from history, Lewis and Clark did their expedition.
Oh, yes.
And there was a couple of things. They had lots of stuff that they started, and they dwindled as they moved west and up the Missouri River. But there were two main things that they would never trade the Native Americans for, because they would do a lot of trading with Native Americans as they traveled. And that was their firearms, mainly their rifles and pistols, one for protection and two for hunting for food. And the other thing was their cast iron Dutch ovens, because they had to have
something,
a way
to cook
hot food in besides just the meat over on a stick over the fire. They would have other things like we talked about earlier with their some beans and breads and things like that. So those are the two things they never would trade, would be their guns and their Dutch ovens.
And well, the one thing I want to say is even our historical folks that we know and have learned about in school have played a part in the design of a Dutch oven. The flange lid came from Paul Revere,
who was
a silversmith.
And a silversmith and a blacksmith, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think he was credited for the, and maybe the legs too, I'm not for sure, but definitely the flange around the top.
And is Dutch oven cooking popular now, or is it a small?
It seems to be getting more popular.
Yeah. I think a lot of people that like doing outside, they figured out that, you know, they like to barbecue, but they can also barbecue and maybe the rest of the family can come out and do the side dish or the dessert, do a whole meal, or do something besides outside barbecue only. Because you can expand it to so many other things.
Well, this has been great. I really want to thank you. The historical part fits right in with this whole series we're doing about the history of this area. So it's great information, and I think not something a lot of people talk about or know about.
A lot of people don't in certain areas. You know, it's really entertaining, more fun when we go do a demo, because people will come and interesting that, wow, you can cook that in there with such few amount of heat, because it doesn't take very many charcoal, really. Yeah, we have been doing for a number of years. We always go to the Fayette Festival of Arts, which is held in August, but because of various reasons, we all know, hasn't had it the last couple years, but we always go there and cook food samples, and then as the public comes by, we give out free samples and answer questions and actually do live demos about every hour. We have something new that we serve to the public.
And yes, we do serve it to the public, and we want people to come eat it.
Well, just to clarify, because I was confused, people talk about kettle corn. That's not what we're talking about.
Kettle corn is usually a copper kettle. You've got Dutch ovens, and then you've got a thing that might be a black kettle or a kettle. If it's black, chances are it was used for hog processing. Although they would call a cast iron Dutch oven a kettle, too.
Most of them were big, curved bottom style pots. And they were, like I said, a lot of times rendering your lard down and things like that. But
kettle corn is made in copper.
Yeah, copper or stainless steel type of big curved bottom pot.
Well, thank you so much. This has been fascinating.
Thank you.
Round and round like thunder. Do the dance you did before and pop that couple under.
You've been listening to Howard County Remembers on 94.7 KPIP. This episode, entitled The Joy of Dutch Oven Cooking, was directed and presented by Jane Krigler, voiced by David Holman, and produced by Rachel Steele. Thank you to the Mocktons for bringing us all this great information on Dutch oven cooking. You can reach them by emailing them at pollhouseblackpots@gmail.com. That's all lowercase POLEHOUS. sblackpots@gmail.com. And take a moment to visit their YouTube page at Pole House Blackpots Weekend Getaways. That's spelled all in one word. There you can find out more about them, Dutch oven cooking, plus information about their unique house in Fayette, which they designed themselves, and their camper chuck wagon, which is an amazing thing that Wade describes in detail in their videos. Howard County Remembers is brought to you by the Boone Slick Historical Society and is endorsed by the Missouri State Historical Society as part of its bicentennial celebration. Howard County Remembers premieres every second and fourth Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. right here on Howard County's only nonprofit educational radio station, 94.7 KPIP.
The lady goes right, the gent goes left, right around so breezy. Make the arch and make it high and pop them through so easy. Do-si-do with your corners all. Do-si-do with your partners all. All into the center and back. Swing your partners. Climb on the engine, climb on the freight. Swing your gal, don't mind her weight. Promenade. Alaman left. Grand right and left. Promenade. Aces high, deuces low. Promenade all and away you go. Home, boy. Money to have some fun, so make up your cents on the run. Invite that girl sitting in the chair, make another cent right there. Honor your partners, honor your corner, all around your left-hand lady. Seesaw your pretty little tall. Swing on your corners like swinging on a gate. Right to your partner and right and left eight. Ladies to the center and back to the bar. Gents to the center and form a star. Right hands crossed and how do you do? Back with the left and how are you? Meet your partner, passerby. Pick up the next girl on the fly. Gent swing out, gal swing in. Form that Texas star again. The lady swing out and the gent swing in. The other way and around again. Everybody swing. Ladies to the center and back to the bar. Gents to the center and form a star. Right hands crossed and how do you do? Back with the left and how are you? Meet your partner, passerby. Pick up the next girl on the fly. Gents swing out, gals swing in. Form that Texas star again. The ladies swing out and the gents swing in, the other way and around again. Everybody swing. Ladies to the center and back to the bar, gents to the center and form a star. Right hands crossed and how do you do? Back with the left and how are you? Partner, passerby, pick up the next girl on the fly. Gent swing out, gal swing in, form that Texas star again. The ladies swing out and the gents swing in, the other way and around again. mighty swing. Ladies to the center and back to the bar, gents to the center and form a star. Right hands crossed and how do you do? Back with the left and how are you? Meet your partner, passerby, pick up the next girl on the fly. Gents swing out, gal swing in, form that Texas star again. The ladies swing out, the gents swing in, the other way and around.